This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We're going to start off this episode like we do every week and share one of you, because we are nothing without you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in every single week. And we have a hashtag. It's STR Share Sunday, because on Sundays and on an Instagram account, we share one of your amazing spaces visually. But then, of course, we got to give you love here on the podcast as well. Annette, who are we sharing?
This week, we are sharing... Anna's_getaway. Again, that's Anna's, A-N-N-A-S _getaway. And she is an amazing host, five-star super host from San Diego, California. Anna, we are coming to visit once, you know, we can.
Yes.
Number one, I just want to give her a shout out. If you haven't done this, I know Sarah and I have been talking about it a lot recently, but on your Instagram... in your highlights, highlight yourself. I mean, that's what's so amazing about Airbnb. People want to stay and get to know the host and the city they call home. And Anna does a great job. She has a thumbnail, a highlight that just says Anna. And we absolutely adore that, because you get to meet her and greet her before you book or stay and, you know, get a feel for that. So I just want to highlight hosts. If you haven't done that, I say let's make that a goal to get that done.
She's got several hundred reviews, and she knows what she's doing. And I love how she's got her branding on her Instagram account as well. So all of her highlights are like cohesive; they're easy to find.
And she actually requests, and if you don't do this, I highly recommend this too. She requests, tag me, hashtag Anna's Getaway, so she can participate in your stay while you're there. And what's great about that host, if you have your own hashtag and you ask people to tag, you can ask them in the welcome message, you can ask them in your welcome book, you can ask them on Instagram. It gives you content to share on your Instagram and just kind of understand how people are enjoying your space. And you get that elevated reciprocity that Sarah and I talk about all the time, to be able to see, you know, who's there and enjoying it.
Her most recent review is from a guy, OVDO, and it's made the best review I've ever seen. He wrote, "Stayed twice already. You'll see why."
Sweet. I love that. I like
That's
it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So listeners, if you have yet to use our hashtag on Instagram, be sure to do so. We would love to share you on the podcast and on our Instagram account. All you have to do is tag your post with STR Share Sunday. And now on to the show. Annette.
Ooh.
It's so good.
Yeah.
We are so pumped to have on today's guest. Annette and I often talk about having a really strong why and mission statement for why you do what you do. Why are you getting... And we have the same question too. We have consultations or people who want to pick our brains on Airbnb and short-term rentals. We always ask, why do you want to do this? Because like everything else in life, it's not always easy. And so sometimes you have to look back and know why you got started in the first place. What what is this? How is this business serving you and your family? And that is really what today's episode is all about.
Yes, I am excited to introduce. If you guys could see me, I am teary-eyed because Amy is awesome. We've actually, full disclosure, we're friends with her on Instagram. So we talk, we video, we've been on, you know, calls before. So this is not her first time with us because she is that amazing. But today we want to welcome Amy Corbett to the show. And she, go on Instagram right now, follow her and her whole entire family and team at allbelong.co. So you can kind of visually get what we're doing today. But Amy is the founder and chief Airbnb-er of All Belong Co., and it, which stands for All Belong Collective. And hold on to that because we're going to weave that into everything, which is a small business based out of beautiful Lynchburg, Virginia that specializes in creating unique spaces where anyone can belong. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Yay.
I'm excited to be here with you.
I just want to give listeners, the reason why I think this is going to be such an important episode for you listeners is the way that her mission and Amy's why is so strong, and she's really made this business her own and she's made it work for her family. And so I want to dig into how she's navigated all of that. So Amy, can you tell us a little bit about you and how you got started in all this and why you got started in all this?
Absolutely. So my husband and I have always had a hobby of houses and renovating. And they were always long-term rentals. And we were in the middle of creating this apartment in our basement and when someone told us about Airbnb. And I had never heard of it, but it intrigued me. And so we set it up. I, you know, loved furnishing it and got a friend to kind of give me a few tips. I was Googling at night, laying in bed, like, how do I be the best Airbnb host? You guys weren't around then.
Okay, thank you. I was going to tell our listeners, we would have been besties then. We just weren't around yet. We haven't gotten to
That's
it yet.
Right. So we started hosting, and this was the end of 2017? Oh gosh, my years are running together. And it just like clicked. Everything clicked for me personally. And I was talking to a friend on the phone and she was like, have you ever thought about maybe doing this for other people? And like, when she said that, like, I will still to this day remember where I was. And because again, everything clicked and it was like, I would love to do that. Friend in her town that co-hosted and set things up for people. And so that's where my journey kind of began. I talked to that girl and she kind of told me her model. And it got me started to where we are today. We have 19 properties and we manage 24 listings. Three of those are our own Airbnb and the rest are for clients.
Okay. I want to start a little bit a layer back in the story. You were participating in the short term or in the sharing economy before you were an Airbnb host, right? I think our listeners would love to hear about that. If you can let them know you were already, you know, dabbling.
I did. Yes, I signed up to be an Uber driver and my family, if you see a picture of us, we are a unique family. And I took a little picture of our family and taped it to the dashboard. So anytime I was driving and picking someone up, it just was a natural conversation starter. Oh, is that your family? Yes. And there were just it provided so many great conversations. And I absolutely loved Uber driving. You know, my family was not sure about me and what I was doing, but it was so life-giving for me.
And I just think that's important, listeners, because sometimes there are people I know listening, even like myself, when I wanted to get into the sharing economy, I was like, do I want to Uber drive? Do I want to Airbnb? It's like, what do I want to do? But Amy did something amazing. Like she just started doing anything, something, and it opens up these other other doors. And actually, before I started the podcast, Sarah and I, like, it's the number one thing we would get asked about. Even Uber drivers would ask me about Airbnb, you know? So it's this reciprocity thing where, like, if people are asking you about it, they want to know more about it. So how did you go from your basically dwelling unit in your basement? Did you start asking people to co-host, or did they start coming to you because you were crushing it? Talk to us about the evolution. And you had that conversation with your friend. Sounds like a light bulb went off, but that doesn't mean people are going to start knocking on your doors asking you to co-host right away.
So we set up the River House apartment, started hosting, and I'm a naturally a put it out there type person. And so I was sharing some of our journey on social media. As I did, that's when my first client reached out and said, "Amy, I've been seeing what you're doing." And this was right, the timing was just, you know, strangely peculiar, because it was just as I was hoping to do this for other people. And she says, "I have this farmhouse, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's about 45 minutes outside of town. Would you be willing to come and look at it and tell me if you think this could be an Airbnb?" And so, sure, I'd love to. I was so nervous and went out there. Beautiful scenery, rural. She said, we were thinking we could offer fresh eggs from the chickens to each guest. And then I looked at the porch and I said, "Is that a hot tub?" "Yes, it is." And it was like, oh my goodness, this is an Airbnb for sure. And so that was when we started talking about what would it take for this to become a successful Airbnb. And as a first client, you know, I got to start creating pricing and processes that I had no idea what I was doing, but it's what I wanted to do. And we listed this farmhouse Airbnb that's still going to this day. Guests have enjoyed over the years. And I guess from there, as the second property, I think I was the first one in town that was actually doing this outwardly and saying, "Hey, this is a thing. I'm giving it a name." And somehow word was just starting to spread, and a second client came, a third client came. And then as I would share more and more, eventually it became a real thing.
Awesome. How long have you been doing this for, Amy? How long have you been in business?
I think we are officially at 2.5 years from calling it a business. And I was probably doing it a year before that.
Okay. And then before we get into diving into your business and how you've structured it, can you talk to us about your amazing family and the name of your company?
Yes. So we are All Belong Co., which stands for All Belong Collective. And our family, we actually came into this, I call ourselves accidental entrepreneurs. We were not business people. We were actually in college ministry for 17 years. And so we got to a point with that I'm pretty transparent in sharing our story, that there was just a lot of our story. Oh, I should back up. If you could see my family, you would know this. Our family is not the typical looking family. We stand out, and we have had a lot of difficulty over the years feeling like we truly belong. So my daughter, my children are both gifts to us through adoption. We went through years of infertility. My daughter, when she was almost 2 years old, began losing her hair, and scariest thing we ever went through, found out it's something called alopecia. She is completely bald. She's not sick. She doesn't take medicine. She's as active a person as you'll ever see, but I have to raise a daughter in today's society without hair. And as you can imagine, that's quite difficult sometimes. And then our son was a gift to us as well through adoption. And he is half Haitian and half African American. And so that component of being a multiracial family, we take very seriously and want to incorporate into who we are. And so that's kind of where we found ourselves. We have just all of these layers about us and our family that over the years have made it difficult to feel like we can just, like, this is a place for us.
Yeah, where you feel safe.
Safe and understood, I think, and truly welcomed.
Okay. And so you transitioned from college ministry to a life of accidental entrepreneurship because you were looking for a way for your family to truly express who they are, what you're, just live your life normally and to raise your two beautiful kids.
And to have an income in the process.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so we stepped out of it having nothing. Like, you know, it was time. What are we going to do? Well, we do houses. So let's just, for the meantime, let's pour ourselves into these houses. And maybe this is just kind of a side gig until, who knows, until the next thing.
Right, right.
So.
Okay. And then have you been full-time in, as you say, houses since that transition? Okay.
Yeah. And yeah. Now, it's turned, I don't think we're doing this for just a time. Yeah. I think
this is it.
This is the thing. Yeah.
I love it. And that was about 3 years ago then. Is that correct? Approximately.
Right.
Okay. All right. So you left everything you knew in terms of your job, no security net, no safety net, just the passion and the need to supply your family with food and shelter and water and all those things. And you relied on that one thing that we'll all need forever, which is safe, beautiful housing. I love it.
Your husband is super, super involved with everything, correct?
He is. Yes. We are best friends and we are in this together and have been.
All right. Before we jumped on, listeners, we follow Amy very closely in her family. I told her like her children could probably set up a short-term rental and host it. That's how much they are involved with her. And I said, like, you know, Sarah and I would trust them to co-host for us if we were out of town not available, because Amy, you know, includes her family by, you know, obviously necessity, because, you know, it's around the clock, you know, things. But also, I think you're teaching them some awesome lessons. And I want to let our listeners know through, you know, Amy and her husband becoming entrepreneurs, I know your daughter has been latching onto that and started her own business too, just kind of watching what you were doing with Airbnb, correct?
Yeah. She actually just started making candles. And instead of, you know, maybe people start a hobby and they just want to start a hobby, but she wanted to do it and to give it a name. And she came up with the name. I love this. BU Crafts.
Ah.
And just so great that she's already giving an identity to what she's doing, and she's making them and people are purchasing them, and we're doing porch, you know, pickups. And it's just been really sweet to see her just kind of follow in those entrepreneurial footsteps, I guess.
How old is your daughter and how old is your son? Do you mind sharing that?
Not at all. My daughter is 12, almost 13.
Woo, good luck with that.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope I survive. And my son is 8.
8. Okay, so 12 and 8. And the entrepreneur bug is already rubbing off on them. So
yes.
I think this is a good transition. Let's talk about your operation. So you obviously, listeners, just to wrap that first portion up, you have a crazy strong why. So essentially short-term rentals, and you not only help your family with your own real estate investments, but you help other people with theirs. It gives your family a great, meaningful place to earn income and also to just let you guys do you in the way you like to be yourselves. So let's talk about the business structure a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we just start with that general question?
Yeah, let's start. So it's 19 properties. Mm-hmm. Or you said 19 properties, but 24
listings. Yeah, explain that.
Explain that to us.
Yeah, some of our listings are actually larger properties, and we've split them up into kind of like an upstairs, downstairs. We're able to block them off.
I see.
So, and then we have the whole house.
Right. Gotcha. And help me understand, is Lynchburg, is that a, you know, is that a destination location? Or is it when you tell people that you're running the thriving co-hosting business there, is it like, oh, that's interesting. Like, talk to us just about the overall Lynchburg itself and then how your properties are situated around town.
You wouldn't think of Lynchburg, Virginia as a, you know, hopping Airbnb town, but it actually is. We have 5 colleges here.
Oh.
And we are situated right at the Blue Ridge Mountains, are 30 minutes from us. It's gorgeous here. We have a downtown that's just quaint and historic and charming. And so lots of DC people and big city people just kind of want to get away and come explore a smaller city. So it does, our Airbnbs do really well out here.
Awesome. And is it occupancy? Is it like weekends, no matter what, those are booked, and then are weekdays pretty booked for you? Or is that kind of a lower time? Like, talk to us about overall occupancy, which we know we're still in an interesting time, but you have some experience pre-COVID too.
Absolutely. January and February here are our low season. But I would still say that weekends are for sure rentals. This, the COVID is, yeah, affecting our calendars this year more than ever. But our warmer season is from May through the beautiful fall leaves. We do very high occupancy. I would guess over 75%.
Nice. Okay. And so you have 24 listings. Are you doing this all by yourself? Is it like responding to guests? Is it you? Is it your husband? Is there, you know, is there a turnover team? Is there a maintenance team? Like, talk us through it. Talk us through not only like your team first, but as you're talking through your team, explain to us when you brought them on. Was it like 2 properties and then 10 properties? If you could walk us through that evolution.
That is a really important evolution, because I think as an entrepreneur, when you begin, everything is you and you're the solo person doing everything, and you're cleaning and you're responding to guests. But as you grow and add, you know, the second or third property, and if you have intentions of adding more and more, I knew that I wasn't going to be the cleaner for all of these properties, or I couldn't. So to this day, I still continue to clean the in my own home. That just makes sense and is easy to work around our schedule for now. But I think hiring cleaners was the first team member that we added. And then as we went along, you kind of run into this wall, I would say, where, you know, I can juggle a lot of balls. I can have a lot of balls in the air naturally, but when they all start to fall to the ground, that's yep. When I know we need help. And I can't remember at what point it was, whatever point that was, I think I probably had 5 properties, I would guess. I had a girl come on board to be my co-host. And so Airbnb allows you to have the host and 2 co-hosts and on each listing. And so I added that third person. And she was responsible for the ongoing guest interaction, communicating with the cleaners of the properties. And I was busy doing the consultations for new clients and setting up properties to be a part of our collective.
Mm-hmm. Is that still the same setup today, now that you have 19?
Yeah, it's grown and developed a little bit more. We actually are trying a model with 2 co-hosts. Mm-hmm. And so that allows them to have off days. Mm-hmm. You know, Airbnb is so round the clock that eventually, I think it's just 19 properties on one person is probably, you know, there's a time you need to sleep and eat and have downtime. And I don't know what that is, but I want the team.
Right.
Yes. And so how is that? I think let's marinate in that for a minute, because I think that's the number one question we get from people, or the number one, like, Annette and Sarah, I'm tired. So how do your two co-hosts take time off? Do they shut the app off on their days off? Do they have entire days off? How does your team manage that?
Yeah, you know, we are trying some different schedules. The first schedule we tried was on 1 week off. Mm-hmm. And then we tried, our latest one is to do kind of a day and night. Mm-hmm. And then one person takes the weekend, the other person isn't on the weekend. And then they switch for the next week. So that schedule seems to be doing really well for my current co-hosts. They felt like when it was a whole week off, when they came back, they didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
Versus the day and nights.
Yeah.
Interesting. And they were completely off. So it probably took them some time to get reacquainted with what's going on. Interesting.
Do those two co-hosts do anything other than guest interaction and manage the cleaners?
Well, they are the online, you know, running the calendars, screening guests, and our clients actually, when there are issues with the house or reservations, we have just set up kind of a team Google Voice number. Okay. So our clients aren't having to always come to me, because I just can't take 16 clients, you know,
right. calling
and texting. And so it's nice that we've just developed this central kind of landing pad and communicated to the clients, this is the new system, this is how we're working it, and they're kind of your point person, but if you need me, I'm here.
That's a really important point, listeners. I don't know if you're considering growing or thinking about this as a career and you're not yet to where Amy is. That's one thing that I learned too, Amy, is also giving the owners, the clients, some boundaries. If it's an emergency, obviously, you know, guest services is 24/7, 365, but owner services, we're going to go ahead and limit that from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. That just is one less ding on your phone or in your email. And you know what I mean? Like, obviously they can email whenever they want, but you know what I'm saying? And have you found that that's good for your team too, to have boundaries for your owners?
Absolutely. And I think it's good for them to know, you know, what phone number do I call? And
yep.
Yeah, and to know the times. And I say, you know, you're going to see us responding to the guests at all hours of the day and night as we're able. But it is different. Yeah, with you guys, if it's not an urgent emergency, like I'm not going to answer those texts, even though, they're, you know, one of them might send to me and I'm so mm-hmm. tempted to go to my phone and to answer it. I really am trying. I think it communicates to them.
Just yes.
It's a reminder of, this is when I need to be on work and when I need time for my family to be off.
Right, right. That's so good.
I know everyone's going to want to ask this question, and as they should, can you talk to us about your fee or your charge you know, do you sign leases? I don't think you're arbitrage, but can we peel back behind the curtain the financial side of your business and how it's set up, if you don't mind sharing that with us? I think that'll go a long way with our listeners.
Yeah, I started when I had that initial conversation with the girl that was doing it. She kind of gave me my starting point, and she did not have the consultation aspect. It sounds like she was just charging a percentage on the nightly rate for her co-hosting services. Mm-hmm. And then if she had to run to the store to grab, you know, restocking stuff, or that she would charge some type of hourly fee. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took her numbers and I applied them to my own town and started using those for the first year. And when I talked about hitting that wall, that was one of the things I was doing. I was putting myself out there and giving away my time and my services for these numbers that were actually about half of what I should have been charging, about half of what they were, the value that they provide to my clients. So I reached out to a company actually in DC and kind of just did the same thing and said, can you just kind of tell me what are you charging? Like, what is the going rate here?
Right.
And it was so great to hear him talk with him and to hear him say, you know, yeah, you can find those people who are charging 10%. You know, then he just kind of explained and showed the value of what they're able to offer their clients and what it's worth, and that the going rate was more in the 20s.
Right.
And so I was doing the 10% model for co-hosting at that point, where I kind of like, yeah, I just had to realize like my value of, and my, the, of what I offer. And from that point, start to price myself to, I don't know, feed my family.
Appropriately.
And also,
And did you change, have you changed the pricing structure on old clients, and were they fine with that when you're like, we're going to have to switch this up, or do you have some grandfathered in?
I hope they're not listening.
It's okay.
I have some grandfathered in. Most of them were so gracious. We talked through it, and yes, some of them understood and kind of said, I really didn't know how you were making it on 10%.
Yeah.
So we kind of did a transition plan where for the next few months we would just go up to the 15% and then kind of, you know,
yeah.
So they didn't feel it all at once.
No, and I think that's just what happens when you're starting something new and there isn't a formula that you can just, you know, go online and purchase. And there are formulas, but what Sarah and I found is you can use 80 to 85%, but things depend on your market. It depends on how you want to run your business and the type of clients that you want to attract and be in alignment with. So I think there's always going to be that learning curve. And I think it's what, if you're getting started in something too, sometimes you have to like take some of those chances. And I know I did a lot of stuff for free just because you're so hungry. Like you're excited. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I want the experience, because the experience ends up being invaluable. So, but you have to really go into it with that mindset. But I like that too. Like, yeah, some of them are grandfathered in because they took a chance on you too.
Absolutely. You know, and it's kind of their benefit to, they got in early,
right. And it's like, yeah. It's kind of like if you're a part of, if you get affiliate fees, things like that, it's like, well, they helped me get all the other clients. So that's their kickback that their referral fee is kind of baked into what their current rate is. Let's also be honest. Let's give some real honesty to our listeners. Besides pricing, what are some challenges between guests and owners and, you know, you trying to just do all the things? What are some of those challenges that you have to work through continually?
Yeah, I think the boundaries of the time, like we've already talked about, is probably the largest one for me. I have wonderful clients. Wonderful. And I think everyone has their own personalities. Everyone has things that they're comfortable with and not comfortable with. And so it's when a situation arises, when that rare guest, bad guest comes, and sometimes clients are caught up in the emotion of something went wrong on their property, and maybe how they want to handle it might be different from me looking out from an outside perspective, mm-hmm. of how I think it should be handled.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, I get to having all of these this experience. I get to help hold their hands through these situations and try to come at it from, I want the best for you and I want the best for our guests. Mm-hmm. And let's come to an arrangement where, you know, every party is, where things are fair and good for all if we can.
That's a balance for sure. And I think that's where, when, like you said, that's the homeowner is so, can be so very attached to just their space. But again, it's like, you know, these are paying guests, things are going to arise. And like you said, how are we going to handle these issues? Not with this guest, because that guest can still post in a review how things went down, you know? And so you don't want one situation to be there and impact your future guests and reservations off of that one. So I think, listeners, that's where you do have to be very careful about how you deal with a situation, because, and that's what we love about the platform, is that there are reviews and there are honest reviews, but you do have to tread lightly because they can put that out there and you want to make sure those upcoming guests or future guests feel that everyone's seen and heard and it treated fairly there. So you have to tread lightly.
Yeah. Is there anything you won't do for your clients? Are your services all-encompassing? Down to you'll schedule an appliance guy to come fix the freezer? Or is it just guest interaction, cleaning, management, and everything else is on the owner?
So for our ongoing hosting, we currently offer 4 different packages based on what services our clients need. Everything from just kind of our lowest package would be just being a backup for hosts who are already hosting and they just want to be a part of our brand, or they want to be able to reach out when there's a question, ranging all the way up to like a full service package where our client lives out of town and truly needs us at every level to make sure that the property stays maintained. I feel like as an entrepreneur, I've learned this is kind of more recent for me. And now I'm telling our future clients that I really don't prefer that package. And I would prefer to be in the first 3. So that we may get rid of that package.
Okay.
I've come to see that Mark and I don't want to be property managers. Mm-hmm. That's not our gifting and our calling. We want to be co-hosts. We want to help you in your journey, your Airbnb journey. But our system and our services work best when there is either a homeowner or a property manager or someone reliable or dependable on site that is close by and ready to help out when the need comes.
So what does that mean then? So if, let's say, during the guest stay and the freezer of their refrigerator isn't keeping their meat frozen, you call the owner and you say, let's tag team this, or you call the owner and say, you're going to have to take care of this?
Right. So we would call whoever that person is, whether it's the owner or the
property manager, sure.
Right. And let them know. And we've already had a discussion with that person. So they're going to know that these things arise and you can't, you know, wait until the weekend. I mean, it's Airbnb.
Right. Yeah.
And so there's already an understanding there that if you get that call from us, you have to jump on it.
Mm-hmm. Sense of urgency.
Yeah.
If you're reaching out, there's there's a reason why. Do you list the properties only on Airbnb? Are you on Vrbo, HomeAway, your own site?
We have several of our properties that we list on Airbnb as well as Vrbo.
Have you ever had any, I know listeners always ask, like, have the calendars ever gotten jumbled? Has everything worked out fine? Have you had double bookings?
It's a mess. Yes, we've had it all. And I can just think we've had all of the scenarios, all the horror stories, and the syncing of the calendars is wonderful in theory and wonderful when it works. Mm-hmm. But when systems glitch and software's spaz in ways that we can't understand, it puts us in a precarious situation.
Yeah. Have you had two guests check in, like one from Vrbo, one from Airbnb at the same time?
No, you haven't. What?
I don't know if we've had that one. I think we caught it in time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we caught it.
If not, you just blocked it from your memory anyway.
That's right. It's gone.
So most of the time you'll catch it ahead of time, but you're still on both platforms. So it hasn't deterred you completely from listening.
No, I definitely think it's not something that we out here, at least in our region, mm-hmm. our larger properties are doing about half and half mm-hmm. On each site. So for us, it's definitely worth it to be on both platforms.
Okay. And then, so what are the roles of everyone in your family? Are the kids involved on like a recurring basis? Or they just help out when mom's staging a new Airbnb or dad is taking extra towels to a guest or whatever that is. And is your husband, does he have a role? Like, is he, you know what I mean? Like, talk to us through that.
Yeah. That we're still trying to figure some of that out ourselves.
Okay.
But Mark is mainly in charge of the renovations to our own personal properties.
Okay.
So on our Insta stories or whatever, you'll see him doing things or kind of being the general contractor over the guys working on our places.
Yeah.
But if I need this room painted for a client,
yeah.
You know, they're sometimes it's kind of nice to have the guy to come over and help me out. And so he is that's mainly Mark. And the kids, the poor kids, they have the opportunity to be so wealthy for as much as we offer them. You know, I tell Caroline, if you wanted to clean for me, you could be rolling in it. I have worked on training her to clean. I am monitoring. Yes, I am monitoring. But they pretty much, I mean, they're kids and I want them to be kids.
Yeah.
So they're used to grumbling because they spend especially during COVID, you know, they're supposed to be in school when we're working, but unfortunately you have to come over to a house that mom and dad are working on. But I'm getting better now about putting more amenities in the houses because of COVID, I think, where families, when they come, you know, put a ping pong table in, or I just got a basketball arcade for $50. And there's a basement in the house we're working on. So why not put that in there? And I mean, who's going to not love to, you know, have a little competition with your guests?
I love it. I love it.
So speaking of that, you help design this, put the spaces for the clients. That's one of your offerings. What makes a great space? Like if I'm going to come, is there a standard? Does All Belong Collective? Is there a standard? Like I am not hosting a property unless it hits these like standards for you and for your, like some of your design to be behind it. How do you uphold the collective's standards? And is that laid out very clearly? Do you turn clients away because of that?
Yeah, I think when we start with a consultation with a client, and it's in that consultation, we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. If they're coming to me with something already furnished, I am giving them kind of, it would take this and this and this to meet our standards to be in our collective. And we want to have spaces that aren't necessarily the same in design, but we hold design very close to our hearts. And we do standards. And Sorry.
I feel you. Yeah, no, it's because
I could talk forever on that. So it's like,
Well, we want people to know too that are listening. Maybe they haven't started their Airbnb journey yet. You can enlist the help of maybe hosting isn't for you, but you do want to have your property, you know, listed on a short-term rental site.
we're just exposing you. There are people everywhere in every town that would be more than happy to help you design it, that would help you take care of it. So don't think that if you're on the fence about doing this and you just don't think you have, I mean, I've said it numerous times, I had to get help in the beginning to help me design my properties because that's not part of my strengths. And so don't let not being, strong at something deter you from hosting your property. If you have that, drive and passion and you want to get into it, there are definitely people like Amy in all cities. You just kind of have to find them, but you can partner with them and, it's a win-win for those parties. And I think that's what Sarah and I want to lead people to also is like, just, you can assemble a team, whether it's you're the property owner or you're the co-host there to help you have an amazing space in your town. What kind of reviews, what's something that sticks out you feel like that your collective does that you see repeatedly on your reviews? What's something that stands out?
I have to give it a shout out to my new co-hosts because since they've come on board, there are so many great reviews saying quick response times from the host. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that I'm really proud of them. We want to be there, when a guest is having trouble or any kind of issue at all or has a question, they are quick to respond to them.
Any tips for our listeners on how to find two amazing co-hosts like you have who love that guest experience? Are they people, did they have hotel background? How did you find them?
I found them actually through our Instagram account. Just putting out the word of this is what we're looking for. And we're taking resumes and we're having interviews.
Okay.
And it was through that that we found them. They were already following us. They already
knew who you were, what you were about.
They were already on board with our brand and loved what we were doing. God. And so it's an opportunity for them to be a part of it.
And you know what? So Annette and I, this past year, we had a couple courses and one in which we trained professional stagers and interior designers how to more successfully stage short-term rentals. And they always ask us, well, okay, this education's great. We feel empowered. We're ready. How do we find clients? And it's like, just start talking about it. It's like you just sharing your brand, Amy, on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, whatever that is for you listeners, you got to just start talking. And it's not going to happen the first week that you show up. So you got to show up all the time. And then you will, and I don't know about you, Amy, but I tend to attract, just yesterday I got an email from someone who's following us in Instagram and he said, hey, I bought this property in this great location. I want to renovate it for Airbnb and I want to make it like what you guys are proud of. I'm like you. I only renovate spaces and rent out spaces that I would personally live in because I say that all the time on Instagram. So you end up attracting people who are like you, who get you. So you have less of those tough conversations because you're putting the back, the behind the scenes on social media, which is why social media, while it can be a time commitment and a whole thing, man, does it help me? I don't know about you, Amy, but it helps me really find those people that I can create amazing things with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's interesting for my business is that typically my clients are not coming from social media. And that's been an interesting thing is there's a disconnect between my clients. I'm mostly on Instagram and we cross over to Facebook, but that's not where they're coming from. I think it's more just word of mouth and people have even just Googled our town and Airbnb services or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, nice. But
our Instagram, I guess it's not, while it's not feeding me my clients, it's a community and the community is talking and they're seeing it and they think it's cool. And so they're talking to other people who are talking to other people. And I am starting to see, actually, now that I think about it, my most recent client that I'm working on a space for her right now, she did follow us on Instagram. So maybe that's just something that's going to be more and more rolling out for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, even if it's not your clients, it's the two co-hosts you found. It's not a fail-proof situation. People want to be a part of the amazing side that you show on Instagram. But I've also found that when, it's not always Instagrammable. It's not always amazing and what have you. And so they're like, oh, it's also hard. And you're like, well, yes. And so you know, it's not foolproof, but I just love that you're sharing what you do on social. You give it behind the scenes. You're very open on your Instagram about how important it is that your family is able to be your family, and that you're special, and that just inspired you to create a business where all belong. Like that's
absolutely
magical.
Absolutely.
And let's segue that into kind of like wrapping up the show. But how do you make sure that your guests feel there's inclusion and that everyone does belong in your spaces? Is that through copywriting in your, in your listing? How do you weave that into the guest experience and letting them feel that comfort in your space, in your spaces that you create?
That is so important to me. And that's where I think design is, there's so many reasons why design is from the get-go. Your setup of your Airbnb is so important. But I think it's important for a guest to feel that they belong in this space, is that this space was created from the beginning with them in mind. The question is, did they think of me? And when they walk in, it's like, yes, this is for me. This is a home, and they thought of me. And maybe it's in your amenities. Some of the examples that we've done is one of our things, our hashtags that I've made up, I guess, is beauty and diversity. And I love to bring something into each of our properties to show the beauty of diversity. And so whether it's, we're going to use different types of chairs at the table, and we're not going to have just all matchy chairs, or I put in one property a whole collage of letter boards and wrote the phrase welcome in different languages. If we're going to have artwork of people in our properties, you know, I want to make sure that everyone's represented in that. So it's really important that we think about not just ourselves and what we like, but are these places that we're setting up truly places for everyone? And another thing that I, you know, just want to bring into our Airbnbs, it's something so small that why didn't I think about this before, is the shampoo that we use. My son is African American. I get this. He can't use the same shampoo that we use for his hair. It would totally dry it out. And so why wouldn't we think about offering shampoo that could work on all hair types? And so something, just small things like that, are ways that we can get outside of our own perspective and think about a range of different people.
Actually, Amy, I don't know. I think our listeners would find this really interesting, especially those of us who want to learn more about being more inclusive in those small, in those very small ways, but important ways. When we hop off, will you send us a link to the shampoos and body washes that you guys use? And we'll share it in the show notes.
Sure.
I just see that being a question that we're going to get. My last, and it might have another one, but my last question to you is, where do you see your company going in the next year or two? What do you guys want for yourselves?
Well, we've got several properties in line for us to add to the collective. Really excited about them. And, I am open, I think. I have this sense of, you know, we have such a unique story, such a unique, I'll say, brand, if you will. And there's just something in me that, I don't know, feels like I want to put that out there in some form. And I don't know what that is at this point, but we're open. We're open to seeing. I think we're going to be adding some properties, some more remote properties outside of our city of Lynchburg. So you can be watching for that. And yeah, we're just really excited to see where things go.
Where can our listeners follow you?
So I think Instagram is probably the best place, allbelong.co. If you are interested in, we also have a Facebook page, allbelong.co, and our website is, guess what? allthelong.co.
I love it.
Dialed in. We like this. We love it.
Anything else, Nettie?
No, that was going to say, like, listeners, I just encourage you to follow Amy and her family. It's fun. They're an inspiration, but also just fun to kind of see behind the scenes. She did not talk about their adorable cat that they have. So you can kind of check the cat out too.
Yes.
A newer addition. but if you like this episode, just reach out to her and give her some love on Instagram or email her, go to our website, contact them. If you're in that area and are in need of their services, we just request that you reach out to them. But we want to thank Amy for her time, and we're excited to watch you grow and see where you are this time next year.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, awesome. Amy. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.